Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I just want you to know that I am encouraged tonight. Hallelujah. As I've been spending time with the Lord and just seeking Him and a lot of things, you know, just this week I've had just kind of a note of victory and some things, and you know, just some things that I've been seeking God for a long time, and some of them are just coming around. You know, God will give you bits and pieces as you go, and sometimes you'll get a bit or a piece and you'll think, wow, that's pretty good, and I'm really excited to get that, and then all of a sudden you'll get another bit and you say, well, that's the part that I was missing. That's the part that I needed. And I've been getting a lot of those bits lately, and I believe that good things are coming out of those bits. Amen. You know, as we walk with God, there's opportunity to get stagnant. There's opportunity to get frustrated. There's plenty of times when there's a lot of waiting, it seems. But you know, I'll tell you, the Bible says that those who wait on the Lord will never be put to shame. Glory to God. And I'm so thankful that is truth. You know, sometimes, and waiting is just that, it's waiting. Amen. Waiting doesn't happen. You know, you can't sit there for 5 minutes and say, well, I waited. No, you didn't. Not really. Praise the Lord. Sometimes waiting takes a little while, but I've learned this, that God does things over a course of time, over a period of time. And as we stay faithful to the waiting, as we stay faithful to the trusting in Him, it's amazing the things that you could look back on and say, wow, my life is so different and it will never be the same. Amen. And so I'm encouraged tonight with a lot of things and just excited for the plan of God, the purpose of God. You know, the Lord was showing me some things about this church, I believe, this week, and even the direction, you know, what we're doing. And we're just, honestly, we're just in a holding pattern. We're just holding, and you know, sometimes you get in those holding patterns and they're not bad. But we're here for a purpose, and we know what that purpose is, you know. And God has planted us here for a very specific purpose. And, you know, sometimes the Lord showed me, if you don't mind me sharing with you, the Lord showed me it kind of like this. If you ever, and I don't know why, I almost seem like I've seen it in this area, but maybe it was just a connected in vision to the area, I don't know. But have you ever been driven by a piece of property that's being cleared for housing development or a house or something nice, you know, whatever it is. When they're in that process, when you get there and they have just cut down the trees, what the picture I kind of saw, I don't even know if I want to call it a vision. Maybe it was a vision, maybe it wasn't. But this is just what the image the Lord used to teach me. But, you know, when you look on that after it's just been, maybe they just started doing groundwork and they got the trees cut down and dragged out of there, but there's the stumps. And have you ever seen a piece of property where the stumps have been uprooted, but they're still there?
Yeah.
You know, and there's still, when you look upon that, there's still a lot to be done, isn't there? There's a lot of work to be done. But they bring in the heavy equipment, and there's labor involved in it. But when they eventually break ground and they get that stuff cleared out of there. And if you drive by that, you know, years after the building, whatever they're doing there is established, you know, the grounds are manicured and there's a lawn being mowed. And you know, sometimes it's by lawnmowers that you could have never even driven in that place before. And I got the visual that was what's happening, you know, with this church. That's what this church is. This church is in those, in this town, is in an area where there's great harvest to be had here, but there's stumps that are being removed. There's debris that have to be dug up and transported out of there. And, you know, maybe some other things are being brought in, but the end result, my wife got a similar vision. Actually, it was on a similar thing. Hers was though stone, and they were, you know, carving away, the idea of carving away at a stone to get a sculpture. Am I correct in saying this? A house or something. And as you chisel away, you know, you chisel away and the thing emerges, right? Basically, I'm going to let her tell you sometime. But, you know, there's work involved. And we shouldn't be, you know, the biggest thing that we need to do in life, and this will help us in anything, not just with this church, but is, well, once we find the plan of God, we just got to stick with it. We just got to keep going at it. Because, you know, there'll be things, come around the circle many times. You'll go back and there'll be temptation to be frustrated. But when there's a project to be finished, amen, we just finish it. We just keep working at it. And I love what Dr. Dufresne used to say. There was this, it was in one sermon to me. I think he probably used it in many sermons. But he would talk about, you know, if you walk up to a mountain of dirt, and you got to move that mountain of dirt, and all you got is a shovel, it's like you're not going to go very fast. But he said, if you just take it a little bit at a time And he said, inch by inch, sure as a cinch. Yeah, I get tripped up on saying it, praise the Lord. Eventually, you'll get that pile moved, amen? And it's kind of the same thing, you know? So we just, when we know the plan is to move a pile, then we just start working at it, amen? Chipping away. And you ain't got to worry about every aspect of it or how it's going to get done. If it's much bigger than you, well, then you just focus on what's front of you. You know what I mean? Maybe you don't know how to run a bulldozer, but if you know how to use a shovel, that's a little bit. But it's something, amen? And as you keep after it, the Lord blesses you. He'll bring in the cleanup crew behind you and just help you get there. But, you know, we're all about getting in the plan of God, discovering the plan of God, getting in the plan of God. And I'm just excited. And I'm going to throw out a little invite for you. If you go to this church, we're having we have a lot of Tuesday services in Mayville. We don't have midweek services yet here. We haven't been directed to do that. If the Lord led me, but we're not at that place yet. But this Tuesday, especially, of course, you're always welcome to come to a Tuesday service if you're not busy and you'd like to come out and get blessed. But this Tuesday service, the Lord is really dealing with me on some things specifically on helping people get into the plan of God and seeing some of that from a different perspective than I think I've ever seen it. And so I'm excited about that. And so I throw that invite out to you Tuesday at 7:00. Vote first and then come out. Unless you've early voted, if you can do that here, I don't know how it all works. But I mean, apparently you can do it in New York too, but I don't even know how to do it if you did. So I just show up at the time and just vote then. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, that's a good start to the message, but that isn't the message at all. Today's message is knowing where you're at. Amen. Glory to God. And so today we're going to talk about expectations, both for ourselves and for others. Amen. And, you know, I might flip-flop back and forth between those, maybe add a few more things in there. We'll just follow the Lord and see where we go on it. But, you know, expectations are an important thing, and having the right expectations are. You know, my wife and I on the way down here, we're talking about a lot of different expectations sometimes that we have for others, and that, you know, as we look at other people's lives, not just us, but people in general, you know, that there's a lot of expectations we have, but really we need to be careful about expectations. We should expect of the Lord. The Bible says to have faith in God, but it doesn't tell us to have faith in man, amen? Because you can't have faith in man. What faith is really faith is hope, or it's expectation. We can't really have expectations of man. Man will fail you. I could fail you. My wife could fail you. We all could fail you, amen? But if our hope is in man, that's why, you know, sometimes you know, so many Christians, you know, if there's a church split or something like that, why so many Christians will get hurt sometimes is because their expectations were in the wrong place. Yeah. See, a lot of times man will place their expectations in the organization, or they'll place their expectations in the denomination, or they'll put it in, you know, a certain group of people or whatever. And sooner or later, the devil will find a way in, because he always does somewhere. And, you know, it doesn't mean that he's always victorious, but he always seems to find a way in, and when he finds a way in, it causes, you know, sometimes it'll cause a split, church split or something like that. And then I've even known of people who have gone through such things and just completely walked away from the Lord. Yeah. Well, why would you walk away from God if man failed you? Right. See, that's stupid. Yeah. Right? Why would you walk away from the supply unless man was your supply? Right. But see, that's the truth of most Christians, is that their supply is not in the local church. Or is not in God, it's in another man or another woman, amen? And so we can't place our expectations there. In fact, when we come to church, we have to know where we're called to be, but we have to have our expectations on the Lord for that pastor, for that place, amen? When you come to church, you better come expecting that the Lord will use me, and if you don't, shame on you, because you're not going to get what you need if that's the case, because I can't deliver you what you need. I don't know what you need. Shoot, half the time I don't know what I need. How could I fix you if I can't fix me? Amen? Well, that's the truth. I couldn't fix me. I did a terrible job at fixing me. But the Lord, through me, did a wonderful job, amen, at fixing things up. And glory to God, and he will for you too. And so he does use people, but our expectations can't be on people. And what I mean by that is, if our expectations are on people, then when they fail us, then we want to give up. Then we want to quit. Then we want to... But see, we don't put our expectations on people. We put them on God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's turn Matthew 19:26. This is where we're going to start. Amen. You know, there was a time when I looked at the four different gospels, and I thought to myself, why did the Lord have four different gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're basically telling the same story. Why did he have four different ones? And it never made sense to me. And then as I have preached the word for 6 and a half years now, I'm going to tell you, I'm very glad that the Lord has four different Gospels. And I love the way that he uses each one of them. And you know, the wonderful thing about the Word is that it gives us an example of, you know, the Bible tells us in Romans 1 that we can know God through his creation. And we can know God through the things that have been created. We can understand him. Amen. And one of the things you see about the four Gospels is they're written by four very different people. One of which never even knew Jesus. Right? The Apostle Luke, or is he was an apostle. He praise the Lord, he wasn't one of the 12. He never walked with Jesus, never did any of those things. But he wrote the Gospel of Luke, praise the Lord. And he also wrote Acts. And those are two very, very good, good, helpful books. Of course, the whole Bible is. But, you see the different personalities and the different aspects of things. Because, you know, if you and I watched a movie together, certainly there would be things that we would agree on. We would see and we'd say, yeah, I remember this part. But there would be different things that you'd pick up on that I wouldn't. And there may be different things that I pick up on that you wouldn't. You know, and then after you have a conversation about it. Have you ever had this? A conversation about a movie or something? And you come back afterwards and you tell me, you know, I never looked at it that way. I never saw it that way. Or maybe somebody, my wife and I will do this once in a while. We'll read a news article. Read the same news article. We'll both get different things out of it, you know. And be like, well, it didn't say that. Well, yes, it did. It did here. It was like, oh, yeah, I guess it did. We just had that this afternoon. In fact, we were looking at a news article and just read it differently. So you see what you want to see sometimes, or you see different aspects of it. So when we see the Gospels, that's what we see is a different point of view. But they've all come together in perfection to show us some truths about the Word. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so I love that. It has nothing to do with the Scripture. In essence, I'm going to preach, but I just wanted to tell you that. Praise the Lord. Matthew 19:26 says, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So I'm not going to really stay with the context here because I wanted to draw out another point. But it's not wrong in preaching it this way because he says at the end there, with God, all things are possible. And I love that the Bible says, and this so many times has gone off in my spirit as I've read this scripture or thought about the scripture, and I heard this word, this phrase, all things are possible, not probable. See, the Bible says that with God, all things are possible, but not all things are probable. That's a very important distinction for us. We need to understand it. Praise the Lord. God will have specific direction for each one of us. If God has a plan for us, then he has direction on how to fulfill that plan. If it's not in your plan, God isn't obligated to fulfill it. If it's not in the plan for you that he has created, he is not obligated to fulfill it. And therefore, if you go to God trying to get something that's not in the plan, that becomes is negated in this verse, this understanding that all things are possible. Because now that has become impossible. Because if God doesn't think that it's something that you should have, you can work on it and work on it and work on it and never have it. In fact, there's people that will spend their entire lives working on a plan that has nothing to do with God. It never comes to fruition, never comes to pass. They live and die and never finish what they were trying to accomplish. And the whole reason was, is because they never sought God. They never sought God for what the actual plan is. The first step in being an effective Christian is to find out what God wants you to do and then to embrace it with everything that is in you. I am going to tell you that a majority of Christians do not, I repeat, do not do this. A majority of Christians do not fully ever enter into the full, or ever enter into the full plan of God. Sometimes they get inklings and they'll go a certain way, but they never enter in the full plan. And the reason is because they're often distracted by their own ideas, or they're distracted by their own surroundings or their own shortcomings or whatever. They're distracted by the way that they were raised. And see, and God does in all of our lives, I believe that the Lord places a margin for error. In other words, I didn't start serving God until I was 28 years old. There is plenty of things in the plan that he had for me before he turned 28. But until I turned 28, I didn't really serve him. And so there's a lot of things that were missed in that. I believe that God has a margin of error, that I can still be an effective Christian. I can still do wonderful, wonderful things for him, even though I missed out on so many years where I could have been fully in the plan. Amen. Of course, I didn't know how to be fully in the plan, and many of you don't either. But we're all working towards that, or we should be working towards that. That's why we come here. That's why we come to church. Glory to God. We don't just come to church to get fixed. We come to church to get directed, amen, into what he has for us. So we must learn to hone in on what his plan is. You know, when I worked in the factory, we had these machines they called honing machines. And those honing machines were, they would use real, you know, they had grinding machines that would grind something. They had rough grind, and then they had finished grind. Well, first they had turning, and then they had rough grind, and then they had finished grind, and then they had honing. And honing was that final part where they would go in, and they would go in with this real fine stone, and it would go back and forth with oil on it. It would go back and forth, back and forth. And when that part would come out of there, it would be shiny as a new dime, amen? It would just be all kinds of shiny, and it was just honed right down to the very, you know, just the very minute detail, and that's how it got it there. Or if you think of sharpening a knife, you know, or honing it, it's the same kind of idea, that you get it to that fine edge. And so that's what we need to do, is we need to learn how to hone in on God's direction. And the first way that you do that, the first thing that needs to be in you is a desire to actually know God's direction. And then there has to be a submission to it. And the submission comes not just in our, it doesn't come in, okay, I know what I've got to do, so now I'm going to submit to it. But our first place in submission is when we go to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe that you have a plan for me. That's faith, right? I believe you have a plan for me. I don't know what that plan is. But I believe, because I know the word, that if you have a plan for me, that you also want me to get into it. And if you want me to get into it, you'll show me how to get into it if I'm hungry for it and I seek you. So Lord, I put it before you now that I want your plan. I want to know your plan. And I will do whatever I have to do to be in your plan the best that I can. I will give it my all. If you go to God like that, I'm telling you right now, you'll start discovering the plan. And I'm going to tell you something else, going in line with what I said when I opened this service, that not always will you know everything about the full plan. Maybe you'll get a little piece and you'll say, okay, here's a little bit for you to work on. You start right here. Yeah. You know where that first thing will be? Find a good local church. Yeah. When you find a good local church and you find a place to get connected to, that's how God's going to start revealing your plan. Without the local church, you can't find your plan. And so God gives us the local church to help us discover that plan. But what have so many local churches become? So many local churches have become places to just get their religion or to just get their self-help. Now listen, we should get our self-help in the sense that you need to come to a church like this, discover that God wants to help us, and then realize that he will help us. And once we've done that, these are the very basic steps of Christianity. I would say a majority of Christians don't even graduate out of this. So they can't get into the full plan because they never graduate out of the baby stage of just getting self-help. We need to get to that place where we're not just coming to church for self-help, but we're coming to church to be in the plan of God, to learn what the plan is. And the plan is not going to be learned by you coming here and me telling you what the plan is. Now, as you are connected to a local body, the plan will be revealed to you in the sense that I'll say, okay, well, this is how God is taking this local body. You can guarantee that if God has connected you here, which I believe he has, amen, but if the Lord has connected you here, you can guarantee that the direction that he takes us, that your plan in your life is somehow connected to that plan, amen? That's a great thing. Because we've already got part of the steps out of the way, amen? If we showed up today, glory to God, we can say that we have started on the plan of God. Yeah. Maybe you'll say to yourself, I'm not called here. Well, good, go find the place that you're called and be faithful there and get connected, because that's how God is going to reveal things to you. One thing that I have learned about God's provision is God's provision is true, it is real, but it is only God's provision. Let me say this again. God's provision is only found in his plan. It is not found in your plan. It is not found separate from the way he does things. It is only found where he does things and how he does things. Amen? And specifically, how he wants to do them in your life. You can't get out there. You know, again, all things are possible, but not all things are probable. It is very possible that you will find the plan of God. It is not necessarily going to happen if you won't follow the plan of God. You know, the Bible says to him who believes, glory to God. Isn't that what it says there? Praise the Lord. In another section of scripture, it says that. Praise God. It says, to him who believes, all things are possible. You remember, I like a version of the song, that's the Elvis version of the song, Only Believe. I'm not going to sing it, but you know that old, it's kind of an old hymn, I guess, Only Believe. All things are possible if you only believe. I can hear Elvis singing it right now, and I almost want to do it, but I know if I do it, I won't do it justice. So, only believe. If you just only believe, all things are possible if you only believe. And I love that song because it's right out of the Word of God. Amen. It's the truth of the Word of God. If all things are possible to us, praise the Lord, if we believe. Glory to God. Well, praise God. So we need to hone in on His direction. Amen. God has given us, He has given us each a lane. You know, on the road you have lanes. It's good to know which lane you're supposed to be in. Yeah. You know, if you're driving down, if you're in the United States and you're driving down the road and you're in the left lane, praise the Lord, going in the wrong direction. In other words, if your driver is on the passenger side of the car, you know what I mean? You're going in the wrong direction. This is just the same thing in Christianity. We don't want to be going in the wrong direction our whole lives. If we're going in the wrong direction, we're going to get off. Praise the Lord. But it's important to stay in our lane. It's not our job to keep everybody else in their lane. Our job is to stay in our lane and to go where God has us to go. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. So we must stay in it. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But I love how he says, I am the way. And it works really good when I'm using lanes as an example. Amen. Jesus is the way. Following the Lord Jesus is the way. Praise the Lord. The job of the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit. The job of the Holy Spirit is to show us the way. It's to guide us in the way, amen, as we go on that way. And so that's a wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit. We have all been given the Holy Spirit. If we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we've been given the Holy Spirit to be able to know how to go where He wants us to get to, amen? Praise the Lord. So God has done all these things, but we have to submit to that plan. We have to be willing to say, Lord, I want to know. And sometimes it'll feel like you're lost. I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes you feel like, man, I'm way out here in life. I don't even know where to go. But that's okay. If you don't know where to go, you just sit, be quiet, just wait. God will show you. He will teach you if you're serious about it. Amen. Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. So you're in Matthew 19. Let's go over to Matthew 25. What do I call this message? Knowing where you're at. We got to know where we're at. Amen. Oh, this is some good stuff. Amen. Matthew 25:14. This is a parable of the talents. We're not going to read the whole thing. We're just going to read 14 and 15. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like. So whenever the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like, we understand that this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is the way that it works. This is what it operates like. This is how it looks. Amen. And so Jesus gave us many of these kinds of parables for us to understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. So if you are operating in the plan of God, you are operating in the kingdom of heaven. Remember in the Lord's Prayer, it talks about, on earth as it is in heaven. Praise the Lord. And so we want God's will on earth as it is in heaven. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's the plan of God. So for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a faraway country. That would be God traveling to a faraway country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Amen. So that's pretty awesome because we see that the provision has already been given there. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Remember, this is what he says. So if you're a Christian, if you receive Jesus, you're in the kingdom of heaven. Good for you. Praise the Lord. You're in the right place at the right time. Amen. And it says that in that place, he's delivered his goods to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 15. And then it says, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on his journey. You notice that Jesus didn't stay very long, did he? Jesus was here for around 33 years. His ministry lasted about three and a half years, something like that. And so Jesus wasn't here for very much. You'd think, man, we could have gotten a lot more out of Jesus if he was in ministry for 15 years, right? But he didn't need him to be. We didn't need Jesus because God saw, and God showed us this on purpose. I believe that, you know, one of the wonderful things I love about the Bible, and again, the Gospels, and what the Gospel shows us, is it shows us that God went out and picked the most unlikely characters, assembled them together, and certainly they didn't all get along all the time and like being with each other, but he brought them together, the most unlikely characters. I mean, some were fishermen, one was a tax collector. You know, he takes them from different backgrounds, different occupations. He did this on purpose, you realize. He brings them together. And now we see he was here 3.5 years in ministry. So he was with them about, 3.5 years roughly. But here's the kicker. He sent them out to go minister far below before he went to the cross. So Jesus taught them some basic things and said, go out into the world. He didn't say, I mean, these people weren't all of a sudden, they weren't highly educated. They didn't have some kind of, magical pixie dust, Holy Spirit dust fall on them or something like that to make them somebody that they weren't. He took fairly novice people and sent them out into the world. What's that tell us? It means you don't have to be perfect to go out and witness. You don't have to be perfect to take the truth of the Word of God. You just got to believe. That was the key. Do you know there's people that Jesus reached out to and they didn't go, right? Yeah. So what did those people not do? They didn't get into the kingdom of God. They didn't get into the plan of God. Yeah. Folks, I'm going to tell you, how many Christians don't go with Jesus? Right. They say, I believe in Jesus. Sure. I believe that he died for me, but that's it. They never go any further with it. They never do anything with it. Listen, if you're a Christian who does nothing with your faith, you're a Christian who's doing nothing with your faith. You're just like one of those. The ones that God used are the ones that said, go, Lord, I'll go. Sometimes it's going to be hard. Sure, it's going to be hard. So what? There's lots of things in life are hard. Have you not figured that out? I see a couple younger ones in here. They probably don't know how hard life can be sometimes. But the rest of us surely do. Gone through things that are difficult. Yeah, there are things that are hard that happen in life sometimes. But God didn't give us life. He gave us life, the ability to have a life that rises above that. But we have to be willing to go. The ones that went with Jesus were the ones that were used. They were the ones that the Lord could use. Amen? So we see this. He sent it. So it wasn't here that long. Amen? But he's given us an example of what it's like. But I love this. I want to focus on verse 15. It says, and to one he gave 5 talents. And I love the word, the word talents is not like what we use as talents. But I still like that it's used talent that way. Because we can draw that from other scriptures and get that idea. So it's not completely taking it out of context. But to see that, he gave 5 talents, one another 2, and another 1. Each according, he gave them according to their own ability. Yeah. So he didn't look at them and say, I'm going to give you all the same, did he? Right. But he said, this one's ability can handle this. Sounds like Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Like, he's not going to give you something that you can't handle, right? Now, a lot of people say, oh, well, the Lord won't put on you more than you can handle, and that's a twisted scripture. They twist scripture to get that. But because the Lord isn't just putting things on you. But he isn't going to give you a task that you can't deal with. In other words, if the Lord gives you a task, not only can you be assured that you are completely able to deal with it, but you should expect that you not only will you be able to deal with it, but all the supply, everything you need, the help, all those things, it'll all be there to do it. That is a wonderful place to be. Amen? Because sometimes the Lord will have you do something that seems pretty big. But if you know God's telling you to do it, all of a sudden you can just go like, well, but he's told me, so I must be able to. Because he gave me according to my ability. And he wouldn't give me more than what I'm able to handle. Now you may look at it and say, man, I don't know if I can handle this. But you got to talk to yourself. You got to tell yourself, right, I can do it because he said I can do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. But no, I want to point out something else about this too. Notice it didn't say the one that was given 1 talent was worthless or not as good as the one that was given 5 talents. He didn't say the one that was given 2 talents wasn't as good as the one with 5 talents. He said he gave them to each according to their ability, but he said nothing about their ability. He said, I gave them their ability. See, this is the thing. Sometimes we look at people, we're like, well, why aren't you doing as good as I'm doing? Well, maybe you're 2 talents and I'm 5 talents. Or maybe you're 1 talent and I'm 2 talents and somebody else is 5 talents. However it looks, but you understand what I'm saying. He's given us all the ability where we're at. And so it's wrong if we're looking into other people's lives and sitting there saying, well, I want to be doing that, or I wish I was that good. You know, as a preacher, that happens a lot. Sometimes you'll hear a preacher who's really well-spoken or somebody who goes into some deep understanding of things, and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm listening to them like, I could never teach it, and they start getting down on myself. But the thing is, God hasn't given me to do that. And if he does, he'll put the ability in me to do so. The Lord, he actually woke me up to this a couple weeks ago. And just that thing was happening. I was like, I gotta do that more. I gotta teach on that more. I don't know how I can do it. And I wasn't doing it from the place that I knew that the people needed it, like it was direction of God. But I was doing it from a place that, yes, this is a good teaching that everybody should have. You know what I mean? But that the direction on it, I just couldn't. You know what's interesting? Praise God, hallelujah. Part of what I was so stressing over is what I'm teaching on Tuesday. And all of a sudden it dropped in me, the knowledge to be able to do it, the ability to do it. I mean, that's the way it happened. So it's like, so he just showed me, he's like, but he said to me, because I was sitting there stressing over, I was like, I need to be more like this preacher and not this preacher, but I need to be more like that preacher. And God reminded me, he's like, you stay in your lane. You do what you're called to do. I ain't got to be in any other lane. Listen, I don't have to worry about 5 other churches or 5 other towns because he hasn't given me 5 other churches or 5 other towns. He's given me the 2 that I have. Praise the Lord. And there's been plenty of times where I didn't think I could handle the 1 that I had. But see, the thing is I know according to the direction of God, because he's given me both, that I can do both. Now, that doesn't mean just because we go and do something that it's God, but this church supernaturally happened. So did the other one. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. So when we're looking at talents, when we're staying in our lane, one thing that we can't do is we can't get down on ourselves, but what we also can't do is look into other people's lives and say, well, they should be like more like me, or they should be more willing in this area. We can't do that. Now, listen, there's times that doesn't mean that we can't ever see potential in people. Of course we can. As a pastor, that's part of my job, is to see potential in people. I know that there was people that saw potential in me, potential that I didn't see. I never thought that I could, but the Lord revealed it to me. He revealed it to them, and over time, it came to fruition. And the same thing is in you. There'll be things that I'll be able to see in you. Maybe you can't, but the Lord, over time, will reveal it to both of us, and it'll be pleasant. Amen. And so we see that God is delivering. He's delivered talents. He's delivered abilities to each person. It is up to us to operate within that ability. It is not up to us to operate, outside of that ability, outside what he's given. Again, we have to stay balanced in this. This isn't God's saying, or this isn't my way of saying, just be lazy and don't do anything. Because that's the whole other side of it. God isn't going to have you just do nothing. But there's a place that we start at. Amen. Glory to God. And a lot of times, I'll just be honest with you, a lot of times the things that we're called to, the things that God has talented or given us in, they're so easy to us or so mundane to us that a lot of times we won't even see them as important. But in the body of Christ, when they come to fruition, when they come to the manifestation, when it comes to us doing our part, I'm just going to tell you that it's a huge help. Praise the Lord. There's several of you that have come to me several times and said, I just want to do more. I just want to do more. Well, maybe God has more for you. I'm not saying that. It's good to desire more. But what I'm saying is focus in the area where God has you right now, because he's equipped you for something that's a blessing to the body right where you're at. Sometimes that is in a simple place. Sometimes it's nothing more than, it starts as greeting at the door. Sometimes it's cleaning a toilet. Sometimes it's eating, good cookies or something like that. Praise the Lord. You know, there's lots of areas that we can reach people. But we God always starts there and builds from there. Amen. And so we have to be willing. But we have to recognize where we're at. One of the best places that we can start to recognize that is in our natural abilities, the things that God's given us to do. I remember early on when my wife and I came to the church and we got hooked up to Family Church, and the reason I use this example is because we've been with Family Church ever since. So we started as babies in the church, and then we continued on through the stage we're at today, which isn't babyhood. I don't know how far past it is, but it's far past it. Amen. And so we've grown in the church, but we started in family church. And when we came to family church and we started realizing that the word was good and that the teaching was helping us and that our lives were changing, you know, we started desiring to be more connected and to do things. And so we would come to pastor and we say, you know, I have this. I can't offer much, but this is what I can offer. Maybe I can do this, or I have this ability or something like that. And that's where those things started getting discovered. That's where, now, we had no idea that we would be pastoring, none. I mean, it wasn't even in the back of our minds. It was so far from us, it's not even funny. But as we progressed in faith and learned, the Lord was able to lay out that plan for us, and that's how he does it for each and every one of us. Amen? Glory to God. And so, praise the Lord. So it's important to know where you're at. Amen. Romans... let's turn to Romans 12. Praise God, hallelujah. Romans 12, we'll go verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, God has given us each a place to start. This is a wonderful thing about following God, that God has given us each a place that we can launch from, a launch pad, amen, a starting place. You know, where we go from that is up to us according into his plan, obviously, or how far into his plan we go is up to us. But he's given us a place to start from. We have to be okay with that. And we have to embrace that. Amen? Praise the Lord. But we need to think soberly about it. You know, there's so often that people see great things and they're like, you know, like I could watch, you know, a minister, you know, think in ministry, if you think about like a basic human level of thinking, it's kind of like, you know, what I would be compared to like a Pastor Nancy Dufresne, be like, I'm like a guy who performs in the bars. You know what I mean? Playing the guitar. You know what I'm saying? And she's like Elvis on stage. You know what I'm saying? She's like, there's that much difference. And we'd think that the place where you got to be is that. But that isn't what you have to be. The thing that matters is, are you playing? Are you even performing? Are you even doing what you're called to do? Because you can be completely content in the plan of God, knowing where you're called to be. And that's what we need to know. We need to know where we're called to be. We need to understand. Think soberly about it. You know, every one thing I do know, because I used to have friends that played in bands and stuff, every bar musician wants that big stage of millions of people. But that's not necessarily a blessing. I mean, you've seen a lot of people who have gone from that and it's destroyed their lives. And this is the world's way of thinking. And so we can't think of that. We have to think soberly. You know, we start where we're at, and God will build on us from there. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. And so we see this, that we are all connected together. This, again, is the importance of the local church, because if we're not connected together, we're being a part that's separate and not doing our part. And when we're not doing our part, we're not fulfilling the plan that God has for us. We're not fulfilling that part of the plan. And on the other side of that, we're making it more difficult for the body to fulfill the plan that it's called to. This is why the devil loves amputation. The devil loves amputating Christians, disconnecting them from where they're connected. And what happens is they shrivel up and die. The body loses that part that was a help, and they don't go on into the full fulfillment of it. Now, you know, we do understand that the Bible talks about other things being grafted in, other parts being grafted in, you know, and sometimes when somebody loses a limb, it's not ideal, but they come up with prosthetics and they can bring something else in. Now they're getting really good at transplants, and they're putting other limbs from other parts in, and the Bible actually gives us that same thing. And so even though it's not ideal to lose a limb, God will make up for it if it's necessary. But the one that's cut off still ends up dying. It's still disconnected. And so we have to understand that our flow, our plan, the answers to our lives are all found in that place of our connection with what God is doing. And our connection is not just a showing up, because the showing up isn't just going to do it. It's a place where you recognize in your heart, this is what God is doing in my life. And so when you recognize that, then you can follow the plan and be effective in that. But we have to show up with the right heart. It's not just a matter of showing up, but you have to show up with the heart. You know what? If I'm connected to this, then I want the best for it. Yes. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. You know, there's people that come here from Mayville, and I'm so blessed by the people, you know, like John and Liz, and of course my family and Josh that have been here, you know, to serve and help get this work going and to keep this work going, you know, and show up with faith and expectation and all these things. These are people that want the fullness of the plan of God in their lives, and they want the fullness of what God is doing, amen? And so they're connected to it, praise the Lord. It'll bless their own lives. Yeah. Glory to God. In those things, you know, my wife and I have found that in following God, you know, there's fruit in our lives, of just our natural lives, of, you know, a better life. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And that's the best way I can put it, is our life is just better today than it ever was. Yeah. And the reason that it is because those things that I came in with have been worked out of me, or have been worked down in me. Those things that weren't good, and those things that were good that God put in me have increased. And so that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does, is he work. But we have to recognize that first there's a working out, and then there's a working up. If God can work out of you, see, every personality, this is what I've learned, is that every personality has good traits and bad traits. Every personality has things but we have to understand that. It's not enough for me to just say, we have to get that. We have to understand that even though we have some very good aspects in our personality, there are some very bad parts of it. Those bad parts need to be worked out. That isn't by God's design. What that is that's a manipulation of the devil. The devil would love to keep you focused on those bad areas, but we have to allow God to work those things out. And that comes over time, amen? It comes over with willingness too. But we have to understand that we don't have the same function. We have different functions than one another, and that we have to fulfill that. What are we called to? I'll never forget early on when we were first in the church, probably in the first year that we were in the church, springtime came around, and I'll never forget that Pastor made an announcement that there was need to help in the yard maintenance. And my God, I knew I didn't want to do it. I just didn't want to be part of it. I didn't want to have to do any of that. And so I just sat there, and I was just like, oh, I'm not going to get involved in that. And so for several weeks, Pastor announced that. But I knew in my heart that it was what I was supposed to do. Yeah. Amen? Well, I didn't listen for a few weeks, and then finally I just said, I got to be part of it. And so I got really excited. I got stirred up. I went to church that day. I'm like, if he announces it again, I'm going to sign up for it. You know, and then I started getting these, I wasn't thinking soberly, these delusions of grandeur. You know, I say, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'll be do that, and maybe I'll run it and all these things, you know, and I just getting really excited about it. He said after service, you'll go meet Pete Hofer. He was a guy, at the church, and he took care of all that stuff. And we were to meet up with him, and I went up there, and I figured surely nobody had been coming for a few weeks, so I was going to be the man of the hour, you know, but several other people showed up. And I was like, and then I was kind of like bummed out, you know. And this one guy, I'll never forget this one. I don't even remember his name. He didn't go to the church anymore or anything like that. He didn't go much longer after that, actually. But he had, you know, he was there. He showed up too. And he was a real outspoken kind of person, you know. And I wasn't necessarily a real outspoken kind of person. And he was just laying it on thick. He was like, you know, he's like, yeah, man. He's like, he's showing us the equipment and what we have to do. And this guy kept going, yeah, I'll do this and I'll do that. And he's just making himself look great, you know. And I'm just sitting there thinking, I'm just kind of mumbling myself, you know, this guy's a jerk and all that stuff. It was early on. I wasn't sanctified yet and all that stuff. And so anyways, he's going on and on. I don't think that guy ever showed up to mow the lawn once. I don't think he weed whacked ever once. In fact, he didn't go to the church much longer after that. He was gone. But, you know, I stayed faithful. I decided to get connected and stay faithful to it. And there was plenty of times when I was doing it, and I'm like, I don't even know why I was doing it. But I was always looking for opportunity to make the place better. And so I would take the, you know, I would mow a little bit further each time and expand the property and make it look nicer, you know what I mean? And clean the weeds up and stuff like that. And my family and I would go down, and we'd go on Thursdays, I think was one of our days that we would go mow, and we would go take care of it and all this stuff. But the reason I say all this is because it was one day when I was riding that riding lawnmower. I was on the back 40 there at the Family Church Jamestown. And I heard in my spirit as I was mowing, the Lord spoke to me very clearly, just like he did when I was about to pastor. And he spoke to me very clearly, and he said, there'll be need for you to work here one day. And it was funny that I was that happened, because it was just a few months later that the area I was mowing, it was a few months later that that we had started a building program there, because the church was growing and it was expanding and we needed a new building. And when we got into that, we started building that new building, it was being built in the very location where I heard that. Yep. Amen? And it was funny because I was there doing that. And, you know, Pastor learned in this time period that he could call on me to do various projects if needed. And, you know, one time, this is so interesting as I think about it, because I haven't thought about it in a long time. Maybe should think about it more often. But you know, Pastor would call on me when he needed different projects. And, you know, there was one, and I was sensing a transition. My wife and I had started a business, but we knew that it wasn't, I started knowing that we were going to close it down, and that I was going to need to work for the church or be available for the church or something. And so this was over the course of a couple of years. And so the first time God spoke to me was while I was serving. And then he continues to speak to me and put things on my heart. And then the Lord started, and of course, as I was served, the Pastor Tim understood that he could trust me with certain things and knew where he could use me and started utilizing me more. And so then he called me one day, and he said, hey, Jeff, he said, I would love to be able to pay, I'd love to pay you to come in and design the children's rooms. We want them to be something that's really fun for the kids. No, this is taking a little bit of time out of the service, but I think it's a good and helpful. I didn't plan this, if you wondered. I really haven't thought about it in quite a long time. But he said, I'd like to have you design the children. And so this was right up my wheelhouse. I was like, heck yeah, I'll do it. You know, glory to God. And they were even going to pay me, which was even better. You know, and so they were paying me to do it. And so I was out there. I was in there, and I was working evenings on the children's rooms in the new church building. Again, this is a couple years after I started and mowing and all that stuff. And the children's rooms, ironically enough, and I'm just thinking about this now, were in just about the exact location that I was mowing when I heard that. And I was working, and I was working in that room, and I would work in there sometimes in the evening and stuff like that. And Pastor Tim's office, in the old church building, the window to that office faced that whole area, overlooked it. And one day, him and I were talking, and he said, I was sitting in my office, and I've seen you working over there. And he said, it just really blessed me. Something moved in me. And he's like, would you ever consider working for the church? You know, and it was at that point, of course, that was the preparation that put me into the ministry that we're in today. That was the start of it all. But, you know, it was connected way back in the beginning to when we first started serving in the church, and I just followed that leading. I knew I had to do it, and so I did it. I followed it, and look how the Lord used that, the steps over the years, to connect it to the place where he was taking me and taking me till now. Who knows where he'll take us to the future. But it's all part of the plan of God. But in that time period, our life has increased. Our life has been blessed. Our life has gotten, you know, we were living in a one-bedroom apartment where we couldn't even afford heat. We couldn't afford to feed the we had the boys. And when we had them over, we literally had to take them to my mom's to eat, because I couldn't afford to feed them even. I had no good place for them to stay or anything. In fact, we would stay at my mom's too. They wouldn't sleep there overnight because it really wasn't suitable for kids. And so this is a life that God brought me out of, and it was just through following his plan and his faithfulness. It has increased us, you know. And then so sometimes, and in those times, over those years, it was all incremental. It didn't seem like it was big leaps and bounds. It wasn't any huge thing. It wasn't like, oh, I came into the church and a month later it was like, here, you can pastor a church and you're the next, you know, blah, 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 blah. You can stand there in front of everyone and we'll fill you with millions of dollars and all this stuff. It wasn't anything like that. Yeah. Praise God. But it was steps. And that's exactly how God wants to lead us. But we have to understand that God's going to do it according to our abilities, according to our talents, according to the things that he puts in us. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Mark 4:20 says, but these are sown. These are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, you know, we often talk about the scripture, and I've often been taught the scripture. This is an unused scripture in the family churches. We hear it all the time. But I saw something in this that I had never seen before. We often think, well, I want to be 100-fold fruit. Who wants to be 60 or 30? But the Bible says here that all of these are good ground. The Bible doesn't distinguish between these and say, well, the 30 is okay ground, but 100 is not. And see, there's a reckoning that we have to have to understand that not everybody is going to produce the same amount. You know, my wife and I have been talking about this for some time, and I believe it. We're all called to pray, but some people are given to prayer. We're all called to worship, but some people are given to worship. Amen. There are some people, you know, my wife is a teacher. I'm not a teacher. There's some people that are given to teach, that it's just easy for them, and they flow in it, and it's their thing. And other people, it's like, I couldn't touch that if I even tried. In fact, my pastor is like that, given to teach, and he teaches. And a lot of times we'll be talking about something. He's like, well, you just got to teach it like this. I'm like, I can't do that. Because I preach on inspiration. I have to find where the direction of God is for that week. And follow the Lord on it. Sometimes he gives me a few weeks out, but rarely does he. Sometimes I go to a service not even knowing. Well, it was a couple weeks ago. I came in and didn't even preach the message I came with. So who knows what I'm going to preach when I get there, amen? So you understand, like, the Lord uses us all differently. But we can't look at the way somebody else is being used and say, I want that, because that isn't for you. Otherwise, that would be what you're doing. Praise the Lord. We have to understand this. So often we focus on that 100-fold and we think of it as like, this is the, like it's 100% and like 60 is only 60%. No, you can be at 100% if you're at 60, because if that's the talent that you've been given, if that's the amount that you've been given. Now, this is not an excuse to be lazy. This is not an excuse to say, I'm not going to give it my all, but this is to understand that we haven't got to do everything, or that everybody isn't going to do what you do. Praise the Lord. There are some people that are called to certain things. There was only one Moses. There was only one Apostle Paul. Praise the Lord. There was only one Jesus. There wasn't multiple Jesuses. There was only one. There was only one King David. We understand this. It doesn't mean there's not principles we can take out of it, but we have to stop getting ourselves in bondage thinking that, you know, I'm not as talented as they are, so I can't do that. You know, if I thought that, I'd never be in the pulpit. Praise the Lord. The standards for our lives are, praise the Lord, how do I want to say this? The standards for our lives cannot be weighed against another's, or the standards for another's life cannot be weighed against another's. So whether it's a standard for our own life or others, we can't weigh them or compare them with another, saying that this is what it's got to look like, because it won't ever look like that. You know, there's plenty of things that we will be called to, plenty of roles that we'll be called to that other people won't fulfill. I remember it was last year, I sat John and Liz and Josh and Rachel down. And I was like, and I explained to them both, I said, God is going to call you into different things. Don't look at each other's and get nitpicky or comparing or be like, well, I want what they got, or I want what, because you're each called to what you're both called to. And these are two families in my churches that are, you know, very helpful in the ministry, you know, and they do so much for us. But be focused in the area that God has placed you. Amen. Yeah. We have to measure against God's word and his spirit. That's how we measure our own life, our own worth, or the things that we do. We look for the things that, of course, we measure everything against the word. But his spirit will lead us into these things if we're willing to go. And so the way to know where we're at is simply by seeking the Lord and building it, starting from the little steps that we know how to do. You know, the best thing that you can do when you don't know what to do is to do what you know. When you don't know how to finish it, you don't have to worry. It's back to that the whole dig in the pile thing again. You might not figure out how you can move the whole pile with a shovel, but you can know you can start with a shovel. And so if you start there with the shovel, God will open the doors. He will open the abilities for you to get into those places. But you got to be faithful with the things that you have first. Amen. Okay, we're going to close here. First Corinthians 4:2. If you turn there real quick, this will be over real quick. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4:2. The plan of God, the most important thing in a believer's life, and it's often one of the most overlooked things in a believer's life. 1 Corinthians 4:2. It says, oh, that's Romans 4:2. That ain't going to work. I flipped a little too far. There we go. Moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. What's he saying? He's saying we can't even judge ourselves whether what we're doing is right or wrong. That's why we needed the Spirit. The Spirit will lead us and guide us and show us what's right and wrong according to the Word. The Spirit always leads according to the Word. But we can't even judge ourselves whether it's right or wrong. This is why we always tell people, seek God, seek the Lord. And it's not hard to do. And of course, if you're still confused, talk with us and we can help you. It's not hard to find the Lord. It's not hard to find his direction. But you got to be willing to do it. And you have to understand that your way is not going to get you there. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. It doesn't matter what talent you've been given. It matters that you've been faithful with the talent you've been given. So use what you're at, use where you're at to serve the Lord, and God will work those greater things into you. He will work the bigger things into you, and he'll show you the things that are yours. The best and the greatest part of this is that we're all seeking peace and joy. Real quick, can I flip somewhere? Praise the Lord. Go to Acts 14, real quick. I was in this today, just not even because of the message. I was just studying some other things. But I saw this, and it just blessed my spirit. Glory to God. It's just Acts 13. In verse 50, real quick, it's 50 through 52, it says, but the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and filled with the Holy Spirit. It's so awesome that that God's plan, God's, like here they were being persecuted. And they just shook off the dust off their feet at it and moved on to the next place. They moved away from the persecution. They just went on into things. And they were filled with joy. I love that it says that. They were filled with God's Spirit and they were filled with joy. God's Spirit is a joy bringer. Hallelujah. And so if we're lacking joy in our life, we need to check first, are we in the plan of God for our lives? Because in that plan is the fullness of joy. In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. And he has placed his Spirit on the inside of us so that we would absolutely, as a matter of fact, find it. Amen?